Good morning and welcome to today's InvestorIdeas.com podcast, talking to thought leaders about the economy, the stock market, and industry trends to follow. Today I'm talking to Taylor Kruskowiak, Vice President and Investment Strategist at Themes ETFs, issuer of the Themes Transatlantic Defense ETF, ticker NATO, which recently began trading on the NASDAQ. This podcast was recorded prior to the U.S. election results.
So thank you for joining us this morning, Taylor. For our listeners, can you talk about your firm and your recently listed defense ETF?
Absolutely. We at Themes ETFs, as our firm name would imply, have developed a set of thematic ETFs, and the common denominator behind all of these funds are that they're going to be substantially lower than the category average, in this case about 40% lower on the expense ratio relative to comparable thematic strategies and ETFs. And behind each one of these is a robust index methodology that gives investors exposure to each one of these themes in a sufficiently targeted but also diversified manner across each one of our strategies.
And a question for I thought of when I looked at it is the symbol of NATO. Was that chosen to be controversial, or what was the logic behind that?
Well, as we know, with tickers across the board, the more memorable, the better. And in this one, we couldn't find a better, I think, ticker to sum up what the fund actually does, which is giving exposure to aerospace and defense companies headquartered in NATO member countries. As you'll see from the rest of our lineup, we have a penchant for picking some sometimes relatively iconic tickers. We won ticker of the year last year with our cybersecurity fund, ticker symbol SPAM, but with ETF.com. We tend to try to pick names that we think that both resemble the fund and are going to be memorable enough to make a bit of a splash.
Definitely. So can you break down some of the companies and sectors specifically within your ETF that you're investing in, and why?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we've seen, you know, sort of a big uptick in geopolitical uncertainty across the board in multiple theaters. This was first really sort of kicked off with Russia's invasion of Ukraine back in 2022. But now we've seen obviously rising tensions in the Middle East as well, in the Israel and now increasingly Iranian conflict that's bubbled up from the conflict in Gaza. So across the board, what we've seen is a large uptick in spending, particularly military spending, amongst NATO member countries specifically. We've seen for the first time the alliance is actually going to have many of its members actually meeting its 2% threshold target for spending, which is going to be a first for the alliance. So across the board, we've seen sort of a big uptick in spending. And in a closely contested election, when there is very little common ground, with a few pieces of shared common ground between the candidates and parties, is support of bolstering our defense and aerospace spending. So regardless of who ends up winning the election today, that being a important place of bipartisanship and support of the defense sector. So for all of those reasons, we thought that it was really important to provide investors an opportunity to gain exposure to this particular part of the market at a competitive expense ratio.
And can you break down some of the actual companies that you've invested in?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, taking a look at the top holdings, we've had a mix of both traditional defense and aerospace companies. So they're going to have a lot of very iconic names within the portfolio, companies like General Dynamics and a number of things like Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, Honeywell. So General Dynamics, as I mentioned, as well as some aerospace companies like Airbus as well. So you get a nice rounded exposure both to sort of the iconic defense names, as well as those that are involved in the aerospace sector as well. So taking a look at the top holdings is going to yield a lot of those iconic names, but at the same time also giving you sufficient diversification across those names. No name is weighted above 6% of the portfolio currently. We strive to keep all of our weights under 10% across the board.
And you're talking about the outcome of the election, whichever way it goes. When you're looking at specific subsectors in the defense sector, what companies in the cybersecurity space are you investing in? Because I think no matter what, whether there's less spending in military, cybersecurity, I think, is always going to be something that has to have a massive amount of spending.
Yeah, absolutely. And generally speaking, that's something that our cybersecurity fund will focus much more on. But as we all know, each one of these defense companies also, many of them have a cybersecurity element, given that so much of conflicts are waged in cyberspace as opposed to actual boots on the ground these days. So each one of these companies also, have a degree of cybersecurity exposure as well. So that being said, if you're looking for more of a pure cybersecurity play, would definitely defer to our cybersecurity fund, given that index methodology specifically targets companies in the cybersecurity space.
And investing in these companies in defense, what role do you see AI playing in the future? Because it's being integrated in almost anything from technology to everything that's out there. What are you looking at and seeing in that space?
So artificial intelligence obviously is revolutionizing things across the board, and defense is no stranger to that trend. And, we've seen, I think, particularly to your point in the cybersecurity space, lots of sort of novel means for those engaging in cyber warfare. Things like, there's some anecdotal examples of using artificial intelligence to produce deepfakes and leveraging that technology to abscond with, millions of dollars. And we've seen sort of the same sort of pernicious impact and some of the cyber attacks that have been augmented by artificial intelligence. So I think there's certainly going to be an uptick in demand for cybersecurity measures to counteract the role of artificial intelligence. As I think we're all familiar with the very iconically the Terminator series and sort of the rise of the machine and the sort of dangers that artificial intelligence could have if it's applied to warfare more generally. I think that is a all sort of cinematic references aside, that is sort of a something that is kept very top of mind in the subconscious of the defense industry and how to best keep our not only country but also global community as safe as possible as artificial intelligence is utilized across the board and also could make a foray into traditional warfare as well.
And what are you seeing in terms of evolution within the military sector in terms of technology? What are you seeing they're working on? What do you see as the next thing that we should be watching out for?
So I think we've seen that there has been a lot of movement towards some of the more novel means of military technology on the battlefield. So, for example, the rise in the prevalence of drones, of all things, being a huge sort of needle-moving development on not only in the Russian-Ukraine conflict. Infamously, the Israel was able to conduct operations with drones as well. So that being a sort of microcosmic example of a relatively new technology that has been leveraged to a pretty devastating outcomes on the battlefield. Again, in the case of the Russian-Ukraine conflict, it's sometimes just the number of drones that you actually have available to be able to conduct operations on either side of that conflict. So that being an example of new technology that's kind of been disseminated. That being said, I think across the board, at least when it comes to arming NATO member countries, technologies that are going to leverage the best in capability, best in breed, to allow us to have more precision in each particular military operation are always going to be top of mind as a means for them to continue to expand in their research and development. I think that's also part of the story behind this. It's not only just the existing defense and military infrastructure, but also all of the research and development components. So a lot of this is also a play on future research and development of new means to conduct warfare that may not be available to us. Also, it bears mentioning that a lot of this is obviously classified for obvious reasons. So there's relatively light on details on things, at least information that's available to the public on what could be in the works to stay one or hopefully several steps ahead of our adversaries globally.
And when you're looking at evolution in technology, sometimes you see the best from smaller companies that are focusing on one specific thing. So when you invest in your companies, are you sticking just with all the big contractors, or do you ever look at somebody that's new, that's innovative, that's breaking out into something?
So in this case, we have a screen that identifies companies of, you know, above a certain size. That's certainly something that has come up in previous conversations, whether or not there's going to be a an interest in some of these smaller companies. But one of the benefits of, I think, subscribing to a passive index methodology, we're not necessarily making any active decisions on our part as asset allocators and portfolio managers. We're deferring to a, you know, sort of a very standardized index methodology that as soon as a company meets the threshold for inclusion in that index, it will show up in the fund holdings as well.
And one of the other things I wanted to ask, because, you know, we see different phases where there'll be something that's the focus of defense, and then it changes and it changes again. And for a while, it was bioterrorism and biowarfare. Are you hearing anything on that? Is anything a focus in that area, or is that just basically military you're looking at right now?
You know, again, like I said, I think, you know, some of these defense firms are big enough that they're sort of scope encompasses all of those things. You know, some of the, you know, the more iconic military contractors in the U.S., I think a lot of this is kept classified for obvious reasons, but their scope includes all of the above, I would say. So I think, you know, it goes without saying that one of the things that has always set, I think, the U.S. apart is again, staying as many steps ahead of our adversaries as we can. And that's certainly being part of it, whether it's, you know, to your point, whether it's cybersecurity, bioterrorism, artificial intelligence, you know, it's you know, one of the things that I think it can't be understated, that so much of our, you know, global order as it exists now is predicated on robust defense infrastructure and keeping those systems in place and operational and, you know, protected from those nefarious actors that would seek to undermine them. So all of that being said, I think is, you know, we get to your point, whether it's, you know, bioterrorism or otherwise, going to, you know, there's always going to be a healthy demand for keeping our systems as safe and secure as possible.
And we discussed your symbol, so investors can find it through that. But other than your stock symbol, how can someone reach out and get a hold of you?
So we have a robust presence on social media, so anyone is welcome to interact with our company LinkedIn page. We also have a presence on Twitter, X, or I should say the company formerly known as Twitter, X, Reddit. So we're accessible on each and every one of those social media channels. We're also, we have a contact us page, so you're welcome to reach out to us via email as well with any inbound inquiries. And we're eager to hear from any prospective investors and address any questions that they may have.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And hopefully we'll see things become a little more peaceful down the road. But defense spending, I don't think, is really going to change, whether it's, you know, whether there's a conflict or not. I think technology is always going to advance, and we're always going to have to be ahead of the game. But I think it's something that investors are very interested in. So thank you very much for the conversation today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. InvestorIdeas.com is a go-to platform for big investing ideas. From breaking stock news to top-rated investing podcasts, we cover it all. Our original branded content includes podcasts such as Exploring Mining, Clean Tech, Crypto Corner, Cannabis News, and the AII. To learn more about our site, go to InvestorIdeas.com. Our site does not make recommendations for purchases or sale of stocks, services, or products. Nothing on our site should be construed as an offer or solicitation to buy or sell products or securities. All investing involves risk and possible losses. Paid content is always disclosed. Global investors must adhere to regulations of each country. Please read the InvestorIdeas.com privacy policy on our website. Thanks and have a great day.